Welcome to Spotlight on Africa with me, Daniel Finnan. This week, we're going to be hearing about digital rights in Africa, namely the right for people to access, use and create digital media, as well as access and use devices and networks. Specifically, we're going to be asking the question, do companies operating in sub-Saharan Africa respect freedom of expression and the privacy of their users? The advocacy group Internet Without Borders has just published a report comparing two big telecom companies, Orange and Vodacom. What's interesting is that the research compares their operations in Europe and the services they provide in Senegal and Kenya. Are users in Africa and Europe the same when it comes to digital rights? Well, no, they're not, according to Internet Without Borders. We're joined by Julie Owono, Internet Without Borders Executive Director. Why did you decide to carry out this study?
These operators, specifically Orange and Vodafone, they have quite good records in terms of freedom of expression of the users and privacy. And we were wondering if these two telecommunications operators, which are two major operators, as you just said, in sub-Saharan Africa, if they perform the same way in sub-Saharan Africa. Unfortunately, we found that there were important differences on how these two companies behave when they are in Europe, in the EU, and when they are in sub-Saharan Africa, for various reasons, which I'm sure we'll discuss a bit later.
So let's start with prepaid mobile services, because these are some of the most popular types of services on the African continent. Do you think users get the same terms and conditions in Senegal and Kenya as in Europe?
The terms and conditions are basically the contract, which is signed between the operator and the user. It's also a document where the user will have a better understanding of what he or she can do on the network of the operator, information on when and why the network might be cut off for technical or other reasons. But unfortunately, we found two things. In the case of Orange in Senegal, we found that these terms and conditions are missing. They are not published on the website. And it's preoccupying because the obligation to inform the user is a basic contractual obligation. The user has to know what he or she can do on the network of the operator. And by not publishing such terms and conditions, Orange Senegal placed itself in a very uncomfortable position where we can imagine, we don't know if Orange Senegal receives an illegal order, for instance, to shut down the internet. We don't know, as user, how the operator will respond to that order received by the government. In the case of Safaricom in Kenya, although the terms and conditions are published, unfortunately, they are not very clear. Clear meaning that they're not accessible to the user. The language used is might be perceived as very legal. The terms are not put in a very simple way for a basic user to understand. And most importantly, they are not very precise, especially on issue of network interruption. We only know that the operator reserves itself the right to shut down the network whenever the operator finds it necessary to do so, but we don't know why it may be necessary for the operator to shut down the network.
You're saying that these terms and conditions in Senegal and in Kenya allow the network operators to shut down the internet whenever they want.
It leaves space for very preoccupying practices, which we have seen on the continent. It's not science fiction to fear that a shutdown might happen, because shutdowns have happened in several countries in sub-Saharan Africa, whether it is in West or Eastern Africa. So that's why we are particularly preoccupied that these two major operators in these two major countries, which are considered as democracies compared to many other countries, it's preoccupying that the rule of law is not clear. We hope that as leaders, they will drive the market up. As they are leaders, they will show the way to other operators and to other countries. And that's something we think is very important for the sub-Saharan African market.
Another area you focus on is privacy, whether these companies respect users' personal data. What did you discover here?
Again, we discovered that Orange in Senegal does not publish a privacy policy on its website. So it's very important to publish the privacy policy, because in a privacy policy, the user can know what data of his or hers are collected by the operator with whom they are shared. Which third party has access to this data, whether it is government, whether it is other companies, the user has a right to know. And this is not an obligation that was made up at Internet Without Borders. It's an obligation that exists even in the Senegalese law. There is a law on personal data which was adopted by the country and which created a commission to protect personal data.
Does that mean that the operator in Senegal could, for example, be compiling lists of the telephone numbers that you dial and selling those lists on?
It's possible. We've received complaints, although we're not a judicial body, of course, but we receive complaints from users, from citizens, who tell us that they receive SMSs that they never asked for before. We don't know. We are asking. It would be important to publish that privacy policy in order for the operator to explain that it is taking all the necessary measures to protect the personal data of its users. And by publishing the privacy policy, it would also allow the users to know whether the servers where personal data of users, how they are protected, who has access to these servers. We talk about cybersecurity and cyber criminality in Africa at the moment. So it's also important not only to talk about the criminals, but also to talk about the steps that are taken to prevent criminals from entering servers. So yes, publishing privacy policy is very important, and we've seen that concretely in the case of Safaricom. We've worked in Kenya with an association, International Association of Women in Radio and Television, a group of journalists in Kenya who are particularly interested in gender-based violence committed through digital services or digital platforms. In one of their reports, they've highlighted cases of women who were harassed by former spouses or any sort of relationship and didn't understand how their data got into the hands, their new data, their new numbers got into the hands of their former spouse. So these are questions that we've asked also Safaricom. In reality, it can translate into very disturbing situations for particular people.
Why do you think these companies, which operate both in Europe and Africa, treat their respective users so differently, according to what you say?
The first factor, of course, is the awareness of people, of citizens in general and civil society, organizations such as ours, but in sub-Saharan Africa. The idea that digital rights are human rights is very new. Preserving freedom of expression online is as important as preserving it offline. So this is a work that organizations such as Internet Without Borders are trying to do, raising the awareness of other civil society organizations, raising the awareness of citizens on the importance of digital rights. The other element which could explain such, you know, low performance could be that local legal environments may not be strong enough compared to the threats that are existing. Some of these laws may need to be updated.
If this is the case, then isn't this the responsibility of the countries in which these companies operate to ensure that they put in place laws that govern these areas and then force the companies to adhere to these laws?
This question makes us think of particular situation. In 2017, Orange Cameroon was one of the network operators which accepted to shut down the internet to English-speaking regions of Cameroon upon receiving order, illegal order from the Cameroonian government. We asked them, why did you accept to obey this order? And they responded that they are just obeying the law. Which is true, but also not quite true, because indeed, the first entity responsible for the protection of human rights is and are states, of course. But there was a set of principles which were adopted by the UN in 2011, which are called the UN Guiding Principles for Business and Human Rights, which say that, of course, governments have the responsibility to uphold and protect human rights. But companies which have such important roles in our societies today also have the responsibility to uphold these human rights. And one of the ways to apply this responsibility is to help the legal environment evolve whenever it's not up to date compared to the international obligations of the states in terms of human rights and in terms of freedom of expression specifically and privacy. And that's why we're saying that it's not enough to say that the government is responsible for respecting the human rights, because we know that certain states have a problem with the rule of law. So we also think that other actors, such as civil society, but also companies, every layer of the civil society, including the private sector, plays a role into protecting democracies and protecting human rights. Sometimes the government is not able to protect this right.
Thank you to Julie Owono from Internet Without Borders for joining us. That's it for this week's Spotlight on Africa. I'm Daniel Finnan. Thanks for listening.